You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. And as we mentioned on the previous show, new mock draft up there, and we're going to break the second half of that down for you, the first round, my projected picks, what teams are thinking here on this week's couple opening shows, 17 through 32 is what we'll talk about today. We talked about 1 through 16 and how we see that playing out. A lot of changes here, as I mentioned, and how teams are starting to think as April 25th fast approaches here. So let's dive right into this intriguing second half of the first round and the mock, and a little bit more offensive skill to consider it here. And you look at number 17, we'll start with that pick, the pick that the Giants acquired in the Odell Beckham Jr. trade with the Browns. I have him taking a pass rusher. Now, people looked at wide receiver as well, and that's going to be consideration for the Giants here, as well as quarterback. But again, quarterback, they're not going to force the issue if they don't like a quarterback at that particular value. And I really think Daniel Jones of Duke is going to be available early in the second round. So at this point, the Giants could think about quarterback, but Brian Burns, you put Brian Burns and Rashawn Gary on your defense, and you're really cooking with gas and trying to overhaul and get guys tailored more to James Betcher's 3-4 system. They had a lot of misfits. They had to switch a lot of guys. They just didn't mesh with a lot of the guys that they had there. Olivia Vernon was traded there as well in that Browns deal. You also had Landon Collins not re-signed, so the Giants are definitely in transition and wanting to line up more with what Betcher had in Arizona. So overall, Brian Burns, getting him in there, good pass rush spot, very productive player, the way that Josh Allen was at Kentucky, Burns was at Florida State. It's going to be a good spot for him because he'll get a shot to contribute right away. They're in a division where you have Carson Wentz and Case Keenum at probably starting at Washington, and looking at Dak Prescott, you need to get to the quarterback a little bit better, and Burns can definitely do that and help with the Giants and their defensive productivity going forward. Our number 18 pick is TJ Hockenson, the tight end of Iowa, going to the Vikings. Now, there's some speculation that they were going to cut Kyle Rudolph. That didn't happen here, but Kyle Rudolph is getting older. He's a free agent coming up. He's age 30 here. Going into the season, he will turn 30. So Hockenson could really be an asset for the Vikings in many ways. Big-time blocker. They need run defense help. And he, at 6'5", 251, good security blanket for Kirk Cousins, can recreate some of the best things he had in Washington there. And Rudolph was a decent receiver at times, but also disappeared in this offense from Minnesota. Hockenson's not going to do that. They'll find ways to get him on the field, even though he's kind of a groomed replacement for Rudolph. I think right now he's better than Rudolph, and you want to get him on the field and can make some special things happen in the passing game. So the Vikings would get some benefit from this, even if they don't get an offensive lineman. Hockenson can get that blocking and give him some extra help in the passing game as a receiver as well. Now, number 19 is Irv Smith, the other tight end that I really like in this class, complete tight end, to the Titans at number 19. The Titans need some run blocking help and protection and all that kind of stuff. 6'2", 242 for Irv Smith, complete, kind of O.J. Howard in a smaller package, and the fact that he established himself as a blocker and then started flashing as a receiver to show he's more of a complete tight end. So I like this pick here in front of Marcus Mariota and Derrick Henry. That's going to be a big coup for Henry. They already have Jonnu Smith, so some possibilities there of using Smith and Smith and the combination in this offense, especially with Delanie Walker, a little older, maybe a little bit more used to tight ends. They already got Adam Humphries at wide receiver to play the slot in free agency. So some big changes come in there as they move on from Matt LaFleur. But Irv Smith would be a good asset for this team. And again, with Hockenson and Smith, there's some potential here as this league reloads a tight end with Rob Gronkowski into retirement, Jimmy Graham fading, that there are certainly going to be some viable fantasy football options at tight end. A couple of them could be definitely rookies here as they get indoctrinated to their offense. The other guy you look at as having that kind of potential is Noah Fant, who's more of an offline, just devastating athlete from Iowa there. So three tight ends could really have a big difference and have some immediate fantasy football value. The next pick they're looking at is Greedy Williams, the cornerback from LSU. Yeah, corner of the best corner in the draft. Falls a little bit to the Steelers here with all that defensive line, outside linebacker, edge rush, defensive tackle type stuff early. The Steelers end up with the best corner. They need a corner here to groom. 6'2", 185, great size for Greedy Williams. They got Steven Nelson in free agency, but when you look at overall Steven Nelson and Joe Hayden, Hayden is going to turn 30. He's cost them a lot. He's done well in his rebound there from the Browns and the down end to his career there, but they need to move on and have a replacement ready. And Greedy Williams is a guy that can play right away as well if they need to, and really can upgrade everything they're doing. So Greedy Williams would be a great pick, as well as Byron Murphy or DeAndre Baker. You have Murphy from Washington, Baker from Georgia. Williams of LSU, however, is better than both of them. And this could be a legitimately big-time playmaking defense again. Then they'll think about inside linebacker, too. They did lose LJ Fort to the Eagles in free agency. They've been trying to shore that up ever since Ryan Shazier, the injury and all that. So Devin White and Devin Bush are going to be first on their list here, but Greedy Williams is the guy that ends up to them at number 20 in my particular mock draft. So inside linebacker or corner, and maybe you think about wide receiver as well if things played out a little bit better for the Steelers. But number 20, they're going to have to, quote, let the draft come to them, as we see a lot of teams do. And unless they trade up, they're going to just be there at the best defensive player available type mode for their back seven that isn't a safety after getting Edmonds in last year's draft in the first round. At number 21, you have the Seattle Seahawks, and you look at Jalen Ferguson, the edge player from Louisiana Tech. He'll play defensive end in their scheme. They need some more pass rush help opposite Frank Clark. Ferguson and Clark would make a good combination there on the edge. They franchise tag Clark there, so they need to keep this intact. Get this skin going. 6'5", 259. So what they like about Ferguson is that he can also stop the run very easily. 6'5", 259, and explosive pass rusher as well. He had some off-field things, but the Seahawks, as we know, kind of don't care as much. They did get Frank Clark in the first place, so they're not a team that shies away from a pick like that, and Jalen Ferguson is the one that lines up for them here. And again, slowly rebuilding. They did lose Coleman from their secondary just as they were trying to get that back intact. Earl Thomas as well didn't re-sign. So young secondary, younger pass rush, but the Seahawks are trying to rebuild what they once had in that elite defense that was the fantasy football force, and Ferguson definitely helps there. Now, the number 22 pick we'll talk about here is Garrett Bradbury, the center of NC State, going to the Baltimore Ravens here. So the Ravens, you look at them, they need a little bit more run blocking help. They are just a team that looks to being that power running team with Mark Ingram there in the mix, maybe a little bit more of Gus Edwards. You know, Lamar Jackson is tailored to an offense where it's going to be a little bit run heavy as well. You get a guy in front of Jackson, who can snap the ball, be an anchor for a lot, many years to come. They love these type of anchor players in Baltimore, and Bradbury certainly qualifies a Charlotte guy that not far from Baltimore in Raleigh, so makes a lot of sense to look down there and just get a guy to fill your biggest need there on the offensive line and really round things out and really set things up for the kind of offense you want to run now. Particularly, you look at the Ravens, they haven't been all that active in getting wide receivers, and some people have them tied to a wide receiver here at number 22. I could see that happening potentially, maybe a Marquise Brown in the mix that they could consider, but ultimately, I think they're a sensible team in their draft, and Bradbury has become a very good value for them at number 22 for sure. Now, we'll talk more about the second half of my mock draft here in a moment, but first I got to tell you that you got to check out our new MLB shows. They're in full swing here, literally, for the beginning of the 2019 MLB seasons. Those shows are going crazy. So are shows for NBA as we go to the playoff type run here for all these teams, and the regular season wraps up, and every team that isn't in the playoffs is going to focus on the draft. So a lot to talk about there in both the MLB and NBA, and don't forget to check out our great draft coverage on the NFL Network part of Locked On Podcast Network, as well as team-by-team shows, Locked On NFL Draft, Locked On NFL, and the Draft Dudes podcast. So great to be a part of this podcast network at the moment, and we're glad you take a small part of your day to listen to Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll be right back here to look at the next wave of second half first round mock draft picks. All right, we're up to number 23 in the Houston Texans, and I have them taking an offensive lineman. They could think about corner here, and Byron Murphy and DeAndre Baker are still available here in this particular mock, but I like them still going offensive line. Caleb McGarry of Washington really climbing up the board, 6'7", 317 pounds. Deshaun Watson was sacked 62 times. It's a number that not many people realized through the season. I mean, he ran around and he got hit, and that was pretty evident, but it was getting into David Carr territory there with the way he was getting ripped there behind that offensive line. So I know part of it is Watson moving around and trying to keep plays alive and taking some sacks, but they need better protection. They need better run blocking. Caleb McGarry can provide both of that. So I think he's a guy as well suited to start at right tackle. So all those things considered, and that makes a lot of sense for the Texans to go the offensive tackle route to help Watson. Right now, it looks like they're thinking with the Dante Foreman, Lamar Miller backfield. They want to be able to get the ball downfield better to DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller, so you need that better protection, and McGarry would be a good target for them in the first round. Now, at number 24, we have our first running back, and he is Josh Jacobs from Alabama to the Raiders, and I'm feeling better and better about this pick. Earlier, I had him mocked to the team picking after the Eagles at number 25 and to the Texans as well at number 23, but I think this is the wheelhouse in one of these three teams, Texans, Raiders, Eagles. But the Raiders stand out, of course, because they don't really have a running back solution right now. Marshawn Lynch, they're not sure about him coming back at all. He's an enigma, as he always is here in terms of extending his career. And Doug Martin didn't re-sign him, so they need to get younger. Josh Jacobs, complete back. They don't need to always go with this early down thing that they had, and then Jalen Richard mixing him in. He'll still have a role in this offense because of his dynamic receiving ability and being able to get in the open field and change of pace, but they need a regular workhorse guy that they can stick on the field, can do a little bit of everything on early down, stay on the field on third downs if needed. Josh Jacobs of Alabama, certainly that guy. A little bit of Ezekiel Elliott light, 5'10", 220 pounds, a little bit of Saquon Barkley in him. Not as good as both his prospects, and we know how high both Elliott and Barkley went in the draft, but Jacobs, in relation to the rest of the backs in this class, is worthy of that first-round pick. You have to have this special quality being able to do a little bit of everything well, and Jacobs does that. And he can stand out and really be a productive back in the NFL. So Jacobs is at worst an RB2, but a lot of upside for him for sure wherever he goes. But in Oakland, that this offense will be improving, and Antonio Brown and Tyrell Williams helping Derek Carr up and stretch the field. Pretty decent blocking up front there for the Raiders. So all signs point to Jacobs going to the Raiders and being productive there as well. At number 25, you have Jonathan. Now, instead of Jacobs to the Eagles, after the Eagles acquired Jordan Howard, I have Jonathan Abram, the safety from Mississippi State. This is more of a best player available situation for the Eagles there, where they don't need to force the action on a particular position, especially after getting Malik Jackson as well for the defensive line. So not a lot of real glaring holes for the Eagles in this draft. They're kind of pretty set in a lot of positions here overall in the short term. So Malcolm Jenkins is 31 years old, 2 years left. Abram, 5'11", 205 pounds. You have Rodney McLeod there. Is just one more season for him. So they need to think about rebuilding safety. Abram is that one of the classic guys that you put in, really tough, hard nose, 5'11", 2'5". Physical run defender, can do some things in coverage that maybe have not been totally explored here, and I think he can fit really well in this Jim Schwartz scheme and be very productive for them. Very much like Landon Collins to me. And we know Landon Collins bounced around the division from the Giants to the Redskins in free agency this year. At number 26, saying defensively there that we look at the pick for the Colts, Dexter Lawrence, the defensive tackle out of Clemson. He's a run stuffer. They need that in the middle of their defense. They got Darius Leonard and Anthony Walker, Marcus Hunt, some good pieces in the secondary, Malik Hooker. They've been stockpiling everywhere. This is the one spot that's a little missing. Having a run stuffer classic, 6'4", 342. The Colts defense is legitimately an exciting fantasy football asset here in 2019, and Lawrence really would make great because they would stop the run and put themselves in position to make a lot of plays against the pass, was where the bread is buttered in fantasy football scoring. We know that with sacks and takeaways. So Leonard and Walker were great on the second level. Hooker made his own plays last year when healthy, so the Colts are looking like that elite defense where they're going to be undervalued and they'll probably be ranked way too low in defense, but they're definitely a starting caliber unit if they can add one more piece like Dexter Lawrence, especially after getting Justin Houston in free agency. And number 27 is the Raiders have their third first-round pick, this one from the Cowboys in the Amari Cooper trade. Byron Murphy. There's Byron Murphy, the cornerback from Washington. We really like 5'11", 190. Lines up well with Gerrion Conley. That would be a good duo there to watch in Oakland. So Oakland, again, we're not going to be doing cartwheels about their defense and saying they have some fantasy value. But if they get a guy like Allen or Williams in the first pick, potentially have a shot to get an impact defensive player here, they're on the right track slowly. Because the Bengals, we know, had some good value under Gunther, and the Raiders slowly getting there. Again, it's been a while since we've trusted the Raiders in defense and fantasy football. But again, when you look at it, I think the Raiders are also trying to combat their division a little bit better with some of the guys there. You have Chiefs receivers you have to worry about. Tyreek Hill, namely. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams there with the Chargers. So a guy like Murphy can really help here. When you also think about Cortland Sutton coming up for the Broncos as well. So a good pick here for the Raiders. And when you look at that overhaul of Allen, Jacobs, and Murphy, I don't think it can get much better than that with those three picks for the Raiders here. We still have a few more picks to break down, but first I'll mention I hope you're using Himalaya to download the podcast here. Really doesn't get much better than that with the podcast player and app. It's easiest way to download and listen to the shows here on the Locked On Network, whether it's Locked On Fantasy Football and any of the other shows. So make sure you're doing that. I know there are many ways to get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, but Himalaya is the way to go here, and we're glad we're on board with them here on Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll be right back here with a look at the final picks in the second half of my first round latest mock draft for Sporting News. All right, well, let's continue here and look at number 28. 28 is a good place to start ending this first round look here. Los Angeles Chargers, I have them taking Drew Lock, the quarterback, Missouri. Drew Lock, I like as a first-round pick, 6'4", 228, aggressive downfield passer. We know Phillip Rivers doesn't seem to want to be hanging up things anytime soon. He's still looking pretty good here, but the Chargers just had to look at the value as a guy that they can develop behind him here. Big arm, ideal size, fearless, aggressive, a lot like Rivers, gunslinging mentality. So everything lines up with Lock. There as a good successor to Rivers. They do have Tyrod Taylor. He's the short-term backup solution, however, to Phillip Rivers. This would be kind of just this pure straight red shirt type situation for Drew Lock, this developmental year. Maybe not ideal for him to get out and compete and start right away somewhere. But if the draft played out like this and people were passing on Lock, I mean, Chargers, given their interest in Josh Rosen and potential not getting Josh Rosen, that Drew Lock would make a lot of sense for them at number 28 here in the draft. So developmental obviously has zero value if that happens for him in fantasy football, but something to keep in mind that also opens the possibility that Daniel Jones slides to someone in the second round, namely the Giants, where I have roughly him going in this draft. So something important to note that there could be a big drop-off, and you're looking at Haskins. If he gets a starting job, is the most intriguing in fantasy football. Murray, close second, but then it could drop off majorly from there and move on, and you just stick with your veteran plan at quarterback. Our next pick is the other corner that I was mentioning that wasn't Greedy Williams or Byron Murphy. DeAndre Baker of Georgia to the Chiefs makes sense. Lost Steven Nelson in free agency, overhauling that secondary and changing up their defensive scheme here. So DeAndre Baker, 5'11", 193. Just all these corners are the same type. Physical, can get in. It's really splitting hairs on who's a better. I think Baker right now has fallen to the third in the spot as Murphy has risen up the board. Williams has kind of stayed steady. But the Chiefs, again, they're trying to rebuild everything. It's just a team that I would not look at as the playmaking because there was that with their pass rush, teeing off on teams, trying to catch up with Patrick Mahomes last year. I think Chiefs fall off the radar more as a fantasy football defense as they have a lot of transition going on. Even though they fired their coordinator, Bob Sutton, because of questions about just the effectiveness. They did give up a lot of points. They're still not going to make a lot of plays. They're going to probably be steady versus spectacular at times, and that's a sacrifice you make. And again, fantasy football, that's not necessarily a good thing for us. Now, number 30, this one is notable to look at Marquise Brown, the wide receiver from Oklahoma, Hollywood. That's where he's from in Florida. That's also kind of really applies to his game. A lot of flash. 5'9", 166. They did get three wide receivers. We know Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Equanimee St. Brown, Jamar Moore were all taken by the Packers last year, but all in later rounds, remember. They didn't go marquee here. They lost Randall Cobb in free agency. I know Cobb plays a slot here, but still need that other dynamic playmaker. That was the sign that Cobb had faded there, like Jordy Nelson a couple of years ago. So they need a big playmaker with Devontae Adams to complement his kind of big, strong possession ability. Somebody who can stretch field, make big plays. Marquise Brown. Well, Coloma has the Liz Frank that he's recovering from, but he should be fully good to go here. And I think he's going to be a guy that Aaron Rodgers would love. And really, this is why we have the buzz of Aaron Rodgers rebounding and being not that far off from Mahomes as a QB1 here in 2019 because of his potential. And tight end is also a position the Packers are looking at. So however they're doing it in this draft, I think they'll upgrade a little bit more of the skill positions for Rodgers, just like they've tried to complement and continue that window by upgrading their defense around Rodgers. I think upgrading their offense around Rodgers has to be a priority in the draft as well. Number 31, the Rams need to think about their offensive line now to get things intact here. They lost Roger Saffold in free agency and didn't bring back John Sullivan, the center, so lost your starting left guard, your center. They could upgrade the other guard with Austin Blythe. They're fine at the tackles for now with Rob Havenstein and Andrew Whitworth coming back here for another season, but they have to think about Whitworth replacements. So Dalton Risner of Kansas State makes a lot of sense here as the another offensive lineman taken here. So a lot more offensive line than we initially expected in this first round, and that's the trend this round is going a little bit more. But Risner, 6'3", 308, can really help them in the running game, and they need that. I think they would also look at Bradbury there of NC State to play center with Sullivan gone. But they're going to do something here to help Jared Goff and Todd Gurley, 31. If not, I think they look at an edge pass rusher. But the way this first round has played out with the Burns and Ferguson off the board, they have to go here for offensive line, and that'd be good for fantasy with the trickle down for Goff and Gurley. And finally, 32, the Patriots will think about Noah Fant here, the tight end from Iowa. They'll think about a lot of wide receiver values here as well. If you're not bringing back Chris Hogan and Rob Gronkowski retiring to get some receiving help, they could also go and trade up for TJ Hockenson or hope that Irv Smith falls here. But I have Christian Wilkins, the defensive tackle, defensive end from Clemson, 6'3", 315, versatile. They're kind of the lesser version of Ed Oliver here. Similar Bill Belichick system to Brian Flores. We know that. So guy that they can move around a little bit and play in different positions. The Patriots, they're not going to force themselves into skill position and wide receiver tight end, but that's a team we're going to look for that and see what they can do there. But overall, Tom Brady not looking like a QB1 in this scenario at all. I think it's more going to be about running game for them. And going defense with this pick would confirm that direction. So there you have it. There's a look again at latest mock draft up at Sporting News from a fantasy football perspective here on Lockdown Fantasy Football. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll be back tomorrow here with another insightful show looking at the things to know about the 2019 NFL draft before we have an abbreviated week next week with some NFL schedule analysis. For Lockdown Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.